The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with developing news. The best player in college football has tested positive for the coronavirus. We have the very latest covered for you all morning long. Meanwhile, the NFL weekend kicks off with the Falcons getting a win. Is there any chance it was a swan song for their two most famous players? And the season on the line Sunday for this quarterback and his team. Can Cam carry the Pats to a win seemingly all by himself? Answers to those and other questions on a Football Friday on Get Up from the Seaport. Greeny, Diana is here. Bart Scott is here. The regular Football Friday crew is ready to go, and we will get you to the NFL action with Ninkovich and Ryan Clark, and Mark Sanchez will join us coming up. But we begin with our developing story this morning. Superstar Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for the coronavirus. Lawrence will miss this Saturday's game against Boston College. He is isolating with mild symptoms. He released a statement on Twitter. Here's what he said. Quote, I have tested positive for COVID-19. My symptoms have been relatively mild while I'm following the protocol from Clemson and the ACC. The only thing that hurts is missing an opportunity to be with my teammates this weekend and play the game I love. I hate that I can't be there, but I'll be watching from isolation and pulling for our guys while I wait for the opportunity to rejoin the team. God bless and go Tigers. So that is the latest from him. Let me bring in the latest from my crew here, and here's who we have covering this morning. Heather Dinich, Paul Feinbaum, David Pollack are standing by. Heather, what is the very latest from you?
Well, Trevor Lawrence began his 10-day isolation on Thursday. I guess the question is, when did his symptoms start? Because that's when the clock really starts ticking and determines when he can return. Much like in the Big Ten, Trevor Lawrence would have to go through cardiac testing and clear that. Plus, he also has to be symptom-free and fever-free for 24 hours. Now, Dabo Swinney said yesterday that contact tracing, at least as of last night, wasn't a problem within the team. Trevor Lawrence doesn't live with any other teammates, and the quarterbacks in Clemson's program, they are always at least 6 feet apart. So he said that shouldn't be a problem. Clemson tests regularly on Fridays, so we should know more later today about the actual scope of this.
Okay, and can we go back quickly to the part about the 10 days? Because yesterday you and I were talking on this program about how a player in the Big Ten testing positive will be out for a minimum of 21 days. What is the minimum, for lack of asking it a more direct way? How quickly, if everything went perfectly, could Trevor Lawrence be back?
He could be back for the Notre Dame game if everything works out perfectly. Unlike the Big Ten, which has a return to play progression that we talked about, there is not such a mandate in the ACC. So the question is, do Clemson's doctors and medical staff clear Trevor Lawrence to play after a 10-day isolation? And again, Greeny, that starts at the onset of symptoms, which as of right this second, we don't know when that clock started ticking.
And so to be clear, they play BC this weekend. The Notre Dame game is the following weekend. So we are, that 10 days is, takes us almost directly up to that game. So David Pollack, let me then come to you. They play Boston College this weekend. Is there any question in your mind they beat BC without Trevor Lawrence?
No, they beat BC without Trevor Lawrence. But Notre Dame is a totally different animal. You know what the good thing about this is for Clemson? Is you recruit five stars like it's going out of style, and you went from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, and next is DJ Uiagalelei. I mean, he's the next guy. He's 6'4", 6'5", 240, 50 pounds, by the way, a ridiculous athlete. So I think the game plan would change. It would look different. He's going to be a tank. He's going to run the football more. You'll depend more on Travis Etienne, but I don't have any doubts they can still beat Boston College. Notre Dame in a week and a couple of days, or a week and a day, is a little different story, though.
Clearly, and that's the one that people will have circled. And so, Paul Feinbaum, I come to you with that. If Clemson loses a tough game against Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence, in your opinion, how should the College Football Playoff Committee evaluate that?
Well, they would have to look at the totality of the game, but the most important thing, Greeny, won't be that game, and it's already going to be the biggest game of the year in college football. Now it's gone to epic proportions. But it's what happens after that, and the good news for Trevor Lawrence and Clemson, they may very well get Notre Dame again in the ACC championship game. Yes, Notre Dame is in the ACC this one year only, so should that happen and they meet Notre Dame again at the end of the season and win that game, I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever they get into the playoffs. So nobody wants this. Nobody wants to have bad news, but this would be the best time and has been probably the best time for Clemson to get this news because they still have a pretty good path ahead.
Yeah, Heather, can you sort of pick up that thought there? Because I follow you on Twitter, of course, and I was reading you had a couple of tweets on this subject just within the last half hour about a way that both Clemson and Notre Dame, as a result of this, might wind up getting into the playoff. Please explain.
That's right. Look, I thought even before this happened that if Clemson and Notre Dame split, meaning exactly what Paul said, whoever loses that game between Clemson and Notre Dame, if they can redeem themselves in the ACC championship game, assuming they face each other, then you could be looking about both teams in the top four if that's their only loss. But that also depends upon what the other Power Five conference championship games look like. We could still be talking about Alabama and Georgia. The Pac-12 hasn't even joined the party. Ohio State will be in there. So a lot of questions, but this, in my mind, I don't think it changes Clemson's playoff position right now.
What do you think, David, about the possibilities here that we could see Clemson get in even with a loss?
I think it's crazy that we have the possibility of seeing Clemson and Notre Dame play three times. We have a possibility of seeing Georgia, Alabama play three times. So, I mean, just put that in the year of 2020 that you could have two teams that have already played twice playing the college football playoff. So, yeah, it doesn't necessarily hurt their chances. But I tell you what, if Clemson goes out and takes care of business without Trevor Lawrence, it ends Notre Dame's chances, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Paul, super quickly, better chance of Alabama and Georgia both making it or Clemson and Notre Dame both making it?
I think it's Clemson and Notre Dame if the scenario is laid out like Heather said. Because even though Georgia played at Alabama, I think Notre Dame and Clemson would just probably trump that because of maybe not necessarily because of schedule, because that is a better matchup right now, I think, than Alabama and Georgia.
All right. And so, as is always the case in a pandemic, far more questions than answers. All of you stay put. Thank you so much. We'll come back to you as we continue. That's our top story of the day. Meanwhile, there was an NFL game last night. Bart Scott, let's jump in. Teddy Bridgewater and the Panthers hosting the Falcons second quarter. Panthers are up 7-6. Carolina, watch a little trickery here and then watch a gorgeous throw from Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, the old school flea flicker. I love Teddy Bridgewater, what he's been able to do, pushing the ball down the field. Teddy is back.
Look here, by the way, at just how close Ricardo Allen is going to get a finger on it, but can't break it up. Curtis Samuel's second touchdown of the game in Carolina, a 14-6 lead. Later in the quarter, Falcons are driving. Matt Ryan, he's 35 years old, but Bart, who says he doesn't have the wheels?
Shake and bake. I'm timing him with a sundial, Green, but he gets there untouched.
14-13. They would kick a field goal at the end of the half, so they're up 16-14 halftime. Now here's an ugly moment. Third quarter, under 5 minutes to go. Watch the hit Teddy Bridgewater takes here late.
Yes, and then we want this out of the game. Fowler tripped him. I was concerned, thinking maybe it was a knee. Then you see the blow to the head. You're concerned for Teddy. But you know what? We have to get this part out of the game. It's okay to be physical. It's not good to be dirty.
It's Charles Harris, who hit him, he would be ejected. Bridgewater would go to the tent for evaluation. He'd go out for a while. He would return to the game. Meanwhile, early fourth, we've got Atlanta's Todd Gurley. Here's a touchdown. He meant to score this week. They would miss the point after. So it's still a one-possession game, 25-17. But here's your ball game. Last chance Panthers, about a minute to go. This is Teddy throwing it up. This is Bleedy Ray Wilson picking it off. And that's your ball game. Falcons hang on to win this time, 25-17. Let's talk about the quarterback, Matty Ice.
I told you guys he's one of those new-age quarterbacks, man. You guys have been sleeping on me when I've been saying it this whole time. But Matt's making plays with his feet. He's making plays with his arm. He's making plays with his mind. And he's certainly leading his football team.
All right, and so there's a lot of talk about the future there in Atlanta. Of course, they fired the coach. They may very well end up with a very high draft pick. There are two very notable quarterbacks expected to go at the top of this draft. Currently, FPI projects Atlanta for the number 8 overall pick, which would not suggest they would get a chance at either of those two, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. And so Diana Russini in with me all morning long here as well. And I just want to ask one question. I mean, not the sexiest matchup, and we'll get to some of the other games. But that's the last game Atlanta will play before the trade deadline on Tuesday. Matt Ryan and maybe more so Julio Jones. Any chance they have played their last games as Falcons?
Yeah, it's always a chance on a struggling team. But when you take a look at their contracts and you take a look at the money and how it would put them in a really bad position, that being the Atlanta Falcons, it would make zero sense for them to move Matt Ryan and Julio at this point. Could this happen in the future, 2021? Absolutely, this could be on the table. But before, right now, before November 3rd, it would make zero sense for the Falcons.
Okay, we will call that foreshadowing because Bart might be lobbying for a Julio Jones deal as we continue, but let's see. Meanwhile, let's run the hurry up through the big games this weekend because this Sunday is going to be epic. Mm-hmm. And let us start with the Rams and the Dolphins. Yes, can we get that going? Here we go. Run the hurry up. Rams, Dolphins. Ryan Clark, what are you looking for in this game?
I'm looking for the Miami Dolphins to not make Tua Tagovailoa wear Aaron Donald like one of those new age rompers the kids are wearing right now. If you watch the San Francisco 49ers, they put their game plan in place to make sure Jimmy Garoppolo stayed clean. I'm expecting the Miami Dolphins to do the same thing. Get the ball out of Tua Tagovailoa's hand, move the pocket to allow him to be outside of where Aaron Donald normally rushes, and run the football. And by the way, nothing's wrong with double and triple tees.
Meanwhile, Cowboys, Eagles, Bart, what are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking to see that, you know, during the week, did the Cowboys go to the Oz, to the Wizard, and go get a heart? I mean, I think, you know, we shouldn't have to explain that you're supposed to protect your quarterback. Let's see if they learned their lesson. Let's see if McCarthy was able to get to this team. Let's see if he was able to plead to this team. Let's see if Ezekiel Elliott can put the team on his back and not put it in the hands of a third-string quarterback.
That, which is Ben DiNucci, who may start. 49ers, Seahawks, Rob Ninkovich, what are we looking for?
I'm going 49ers running game to the edge against Seattle's run defense. Look, last week the 49ers against the Patriots were able to run the ball to the edge at any point in the game. And they even threw the ball to the flat, which were like runs. So I'm going with the 49ers running game. If Seattle is going to have a chance in this game, they have to set the edge. They have to stop the run on the edge.
Huge game in the NFC West. And then the biggest game of the weekend, no doubt, Steelers-Ravens. And every weekend, Diana Russini is covering the big game. What do we have our eyes on this weekend in Baltimore?
I'm looking forward to seeing this Steelers defense make a declaration that they're the number one defense in the league right now. Because going into this game, the Ravens technically have the number one defense. We saw them slow down Derrick Henry last week. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do to Lamar Jackson. Because that offense is not the same offense we saw last season. They're running the ball less, and I think the Steelers are going to stop them.
And we take a look here at some of these numbers. While Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, still one of the best teams, the quarterback has not played at the same dizzying height that he reached last year. Through 6 weeks, he has fewer touchdowns, lower completion. You see all the numbers.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can turn that around. But it's a tall task, as Diana says, against that really good defense. So I'm going to put my cards right on the table. I got Ryan Clark, the former Steeler. I got Bart Scott, the former Raven. I wanted trash talk. I wanted these guys to tell me how physical this game was going to be. I wanted them basically going head-to-head from their separate places. But all I'm getting are concerns. Bart, why are you concerned about the Ravens right now?
Well, I sat on this very seat 2 weeks ago, and I told you I was concerned with the lack of weapons around Lamar Jackson. I love that they went out and got Yannick. That's great, but that's adding a strength to a strength. You know, we need to be able to have Lamar Jackson be able to counterpunch, because when we get to the playoffs and you go against the good teams, they've been able to take that dynamic running game away and put the ball in squarely in the hands of Lamar Jackson, who hasn't been able to really come up big in those situations. You think about, you know, the Chargers, you think about the Titans, and being disappointed. It's one thing to win during the regular season, but the clock is ticking, Greeny, on being able to go get these luxury pieces like Yannick, go out and get these luxury pieces like Marcus Peters, because his contract is the elephant in the room. And when he gets that contract, you're going to lose those type of pieces. You have to go and find and get him a weapon on the outside of the numbers. Only 2 touchdowns to a receiver this year. That's disrespectful to me.
Hence the foreshadowing that I gave you about Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Not Julio aside,
no.
Are we hearing the Ravens are out there looking for a receiver? Do we think they may add a weapon?
Signing Dez Bryant was a very fair sign here that they know
they. I can't say it with a straight face. Dez Bryant played like 10 years ago.
He did, but he showed him enough, right? So he worked out with him in the summer. He didn't have a great workout, but he came back again, and apparently he's in better shape and he's playing better. So look, they're taking a risk with, you know, here, and with it's actually very little risk on taking a chance on Dez here. But it is very clear that Lamar Jackson is not the same quarterback that we saw last season. They're running 10 yards less per carry here that on average. Yeah. And that's pretty much telling the story. And then you just look at the sacks here, the pressure he's getting. Mm-hmm. Last year, he had 25 sacks the entire season. He's already got 16 through 5.
Right.
So he's feeling that pressure because they know he's looking to run first. They're going to take him down.
It's old. They've seen it on
film. They figured it out.
It's a game plan. They understand what it means now.
So all the concerns for the Ravens, and I figure RC is going to be in here doing nothing but talking smack. But, Ryan, you're telling me this morning you have a concern that I think most people don't see coming.
Yeah, we talked about the ifs coming into this year, and it was if Ben Roethlisberger was healthy. Well, my if for this game is if Ben Roethlisberger plays well, if Ben Roethlisberger protects the ball, if Ben Roethlisberger is the Big Ben that led this team to two Super Bowl championships. And we saw the tale of two Bens last week against the Tennessee Titans. And I told you guys before, there are these certain players that you just know you have to live with some things. They're going to make some great plays, like the shovel pass out in the flat to Eric Ebron, and then they're going to throw three interceptions in the second half, and you feel like you got to go out and play. Sometimes you don't even get a good drink of Gatorade. Well, if he turns the ball over against Marlon Humphrey, against Calais Campbell, against Marcus Peters, some of these very ball-aware football players that the Baltimore Ravens have on their team, they're going to lose this game. And so for me, it's about Ben Roethlisberger not only making plays to Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, using James Conner out of the backfield, but it's about him protecting the football. I believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers have the better defense. I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers have the better overall team. But it's about, hush, it's my turn. You said a whole lot of weed earlier. I told you what Rob Spillane was. Hey, listen, I told you what Rob Spillane was going to do last week. I can't sun you 2 weeks in a row. We're trying to be friendly here. Back to what I was saying, though. If Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play well, if Ben Roethlisberger turns the ball over in this game, the Baltimore Ravens win. And I feel like that's their path to victory. So this is all about Big Ben not being if he's healthy, but being the Big Ben that helps the Pittsburgh Steelers win this game.
There was just a little glimpse of what we were looking for, and we will come back to that. But Rob Ninkovich, let me come to you, because the scheduling of this game is fascinating. The Ravens are coming off a bye. The Steelers were supposed to be, but because of the rescheduling involved with Tennessee, they're coming off a tough game, that physical matchup we were just talking about, where the Titans made a big comeback in the second half. How big an advantage is that in your mind for Baltimore, Rob Ninkovich?
Well, I don't think it's that big of an advantage, obviously. Look, you can think back to the playoffs when the Ravens were the number one seed. They had a bye week. They went out and they lost in the playoffs. So sometimes that bye week can almost be a time for you to reflect on the things that you're not doing well and questioning the things that you're doing and questioning your skill sets. So the Ravens, to me, I think they're going to go and play the Steelers, who have just come off a huge win against Tennessee. They're kind of rolling right now. They don't want to have a bye week. They want to just keep rolling into the season here. I can think back to the playoffs, and when we were, you know, going into the playoffs, we had a bye week. We were just telling each other in the locker room with the Patriots, like, look, let's just go play. We're ready to go. We're healthy. Let's go play football. So sometimes that bye week could actually make you be worse and not help you be a better football team. When you have too much time on your hands, I just think that it could potentially hurt them. So I think the Steelers coming out after this last week victory against Tennessee are going to just be steamrolling right now. They're going to be ready to go. I'm going with the Steelers on this matchup because of that defense.
RC, how about the bye week?
Listen, it's not about what happens before you play the Baltimore Ravens.
Thank you.
It's about what happens after. Whenever I would look at the schedule, I didn't care if it was the Cleveland Browns the week before, or I didn't care if it was the Cincinnati Bengals the week before the Baltimore Ravens. I wanted either a bye after we played the Baltimore Ravens, or I wanted the bye that the Pittsburgh Steelers would get in playing the Dallas Cowboys after the Baltimore Ravens. Because when you are neck deep in ice and you are neck deep in making sure that your treatment plan is on schedule so you can actually get on the field the next week after the Baltimore Ravens game, that's what's important.
I notice you nodding. You're feeling the same way.
Well, with all fairness to Rob, he wouldn't understand what this type of rivalry is all about. This is the most physical rivalry in all of football. I mean, you talk about the history of this game. Hey, we call it a double chin strap game.
Come on, I know you played for the – Bart, hey –
but it's not physical.
Listen,
Jets, Patriots cannot compare. This is something totally different. This is a man's game. This is Ward Gotti.
This is like in the trenches. Ain't no fancy stuff going on. Ain't no trickeration. It's like, I'm going here and I'm going through you. Can you stop it? Yeah, it's nothing to do. Listen, when I went to the AFC East and we played the Patriots, it was more about minds. It was more about strategy. This is a straight up alley fight right here. It has nothing to do about this. This is about a double chin strap. Somebody gonna get carried off. I'm sorry to say that. Somebody, listen, I can go through the rivalry, and I know later we're gonna talk about it, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger and his crooked nose and him having to pack his nose so he can finish the game, or whether it's Debo knocking Ed Reed off on a punt return, whether it's Willis McGahee and Ryan Clark going night-night. This is a totally different thing. You wouldn't know anything about this type of stuff. This is not your business.
Do you want to come to the game with me?
We have to take a short break on that thought. Rob, I promise I'm giving you a chance to retort. I promise I'm giving you a chance to come back to that. But I have to take a short break. But this is the kind of thing we're talking about. So Football Friday on Get Up and Let's Roll. Coming up, the Patriots haven't lost four in a row since Tom Brady was 25 years old. What will happen if they do it now? Rob will have thoughts on that as well. Plus, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers off to a hot start. I'll tell you why they need to make a move now. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up!
Get Up is brought to you by The Mandalorian. New season now streaming on Disney Plus, rated TV-14. Okay, Ryan Clark, I told you, Justin Hartley watches this show. He's the star of This Is Us. And he tweeted at you after you compared watching the Bears to his show. And he is a Bears fan, which I also told you. And he said both the Bears and his show are filled with drama and stressful at times. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. I told you, RC.
Hey, well, he's absolutely right, and that's what I feel about the Bears. So, in turn, I was correct, Greeny. Just as I said, even Justin knows that it's stressful to watch the Bears, and it's hard to watch that great show. So, hey, score one for RC.
I get the two of you together. You're my two handsomest friends. Coming up, is there something more miserable than losing for Bill Belichick? What will happen if the Patriots lose again on Sunday? We're talking about it. It's Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and as if this day couldn't get any busier, we have breaking news, Diana, from the NFL. What do we have?
Yeah, we actually have really good news. No new positive COVID-19 test for the New York Giants. One offensive lineman tested positive yesterday, so the entire line, including two staff members, were sent home yesterday. They worked virtually. I'm told today they are going to be back in the building because of the rain. They will practice indoors. All meetings will go down virtually, but really good news considering this game is going to be on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN against the Bucs. So no new COVID-19 positive test for the New York Giants today.
Okay, excellent news there. It would suggest that game should go on as scheduled. Meanwhile, let's look at some of the other big games this weekend, and this is as big a game as you could ask for in the AFC East between the Patriots and the Bills as they get set to go head-to-head, and New England will go into this one without one of its best-known players and one of its most dynamic weapons, and that is, of course, wide receiver Julian Edelman, who underwent a precautionary standard knee procedure yesterday and is expected to miss Sunday's road game against the Bills. It's a critical game in every conceivable way. His quarterback, Cam Newton, meanwhile, is addressing his team's play and the team's three-game losing streak. Here's Cam.
This is a must-win for us, and I'm going to control the things that I can't control. Losing is not acceptable in this locker room, in this county, in this state, in this area, in this region. So Cameron Newton, you need to pick your expletive up.
So he understands the gravity of the situation. Look at RC's face. But Ninkovich, I want to start with you because you played there all those years and you know what misery comes with any losing in New England. What would you imagine this week is like for them?
I mean, it's their season. It's everything right now. And last week I said it was one of the biggest games that I could remember. So this is the biggest game that I could probably remember because of the fact that if they lose this game, they've dug themselves in a hole so deep they can't get out of it. And if that happens, I would see them before the trade deadline trying to get as many draft picks in equity. They have a lot of cap room for next season. So if they lose this game, they're going to be sellers, and they're going to try and get as many draft picks as possible. So this is a must-win game for the Patriots. If they do not win, their season pretty much is over.
To put it in perspective, they would be 3.5 games functionally behind Buffalo if they were to lose this game to the Bills on Sunday. RC, what was your facial reaction to what Cam Newton said there?
It sounded like Cam had received that letter, right? It almost sounded like he was reciting or reading a letter, maybe some fan mail that talked about the county, talked about the region, and telling Newton to get his stuff together. And now I'm not saying that he actually got a letter, but that has to be how it feels for Patriot fans right now, for Patriots fans to have 2 decades of winning, and now all of a sudden you get the new guy in town and you can't buy a win. And it looks bad, right? It doesn't even feel right. You aren't even necessarily competitive offensively. And so I know for Cam Newton, for the New England Patriots, this game is extremely important. And all eyes will be on QB1. But I think that all eyes should also be on Bill Belichick. For years, we have lauded this man and applauded him as being the greatest football coach of all time, the best we've ever seen on an NFL sideline. Well, he's going to have to work the other 2 phases, which are special teams, defense, find a way with Josh McDaniels to get the offense to move just enough to win an extremely important game. We've watched him win 6 of the biggest games ever played. Well, this is going to be one of those games where the GOAT, where the guy that has 6 rings, has to show us all why he has them without the other man he won all those rings with.
That's exactly right. I mean, so much of this week has been Brady and Bill. And Bart, as you look at this game here, and now Cam is going to have to do it without Edelman, and it might be for a prolonged period of time. What do you think?
I mean, to Ryan's point, you know, right here is a list of all the drafts from the last 5 years in which the great Bill Belichick has had numerous picks. He hasn't been able to really come up with any stars. I believe that he hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013. So this is a bigger indictment on Bill Belichick, not the coach, but the general manager, and his ability to just surround his team with talent. But when you have the perfect eraser, the equalizer in Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, it didn't matter who was out at receiver. He would make it work. So I think this is a bigger case for Tom Brady to say that he was the reason why that organization was successful for all those years. Because you take him away, and it's like when LeBron left the Cavaliers, it's like you won with these cats. You go from, you know, being maybe the, you know, winning the division,
don't
the Super
you do
Bowl
that,
contender,
Bart.
To not
Bart,
even being able
that.
To make the playoffs. You're going to get shut out by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this is a big indictment on Bill Belichick, and
that's
maybe
tough.
Bill Belichick, you know, the general manager should be fired and on the hot seat.
Ooh.
And keep the coach around because the coach is outstanding.
Who am I hearing? Go ahead.
Belichick. What is happening here?
We're firing
Bill Belichick.
No, the
because
general
he
manager.
Has one
Brian
bad
general
season.
Manager.
Look, this is going to be Julian Edelman. What is that clown? Thank you.
Well, welcome back, Rob. Welcome to the average pool,
buddy.
What's
wrong with you?
I've been here with the Jets for a long time. Welcome. It's okay over here. Come
look,
to misery.
Julian,
you guys gonna win again for a long, long time.
The loss of Julian Edelman is a huge
deal. Julian Edelman's 34 years old.
He
That's
is, but he still
indictment.
Leads his teams in receptions and targets
that
and
team,
yards right now.
That team.
And
where would Julian Edelman star somewhere else on another team?
The Jets. But they'll take anybody. That's
yeah,
my point.
Exactly.
No, you know what he should
That's
do? He should go play with
That's
his friend Tom Brady.
Star for the Jets.
You know what? If the AB experiment doesn't work out, he can just land in Tampa Bay. That would probably be a perfect landing spot for him,
just
and he'd
saying,
be great there.
Can I bring Rob Ninkovich back in here just briefly? Why did you just put the clown mask on?
He can say what he wants. It is what it is.
I mean,
the numbers don't lie, right?
Where did that mask come from?
I'm listening. Listen, when I hear someone say replace Bill Belichick, that's why I put the mask on. That
I said the general
so
manager.
Silly.
The general manager sucks. Name me a great pick that he has on all these picks.
Come on.
List.
This is
I
the first season in 20
Jones.
Years.
That was 2013.
Year 20 years that they've
that
had
was the last
year.
One I could think of.
Come on.
I have to move on from this for a moment. Let's get up and go. We will come back to it, but we should tell you that last night the Falcons played the Panthers. And the Falcons finally held on to a fourth quarter lead. Teddy Bridgewater picked off at the end of the game, and Atlanta wins it 25-17. Meanwhile, in a stunning move from baseball yesterday, the White Sox named 76-year-old Hall of Famer Tony La Russa as their new manager. He last managed the Cardinals in 2011. He began his career as a manager with the White Sox in 1979. And now he's coming back. And then, of course, our top story of the day. Star Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for the coronavirus. He will miss this Saturday's game against Boston College. He is isolating with mild symptoms. They play Notre Dame a week from Saturday. There are so many questions. Let's bring in Dr. Myron Roll, who was a neurosurgeon resident and now charged with treating COVID patients. And of course, we remember he was a great safety at Florida State in the NFL minors. Great to see you again. So let's start with this. A young athlete like Trevor Lawrence, who is obviously in great shape, what is the recovery process like for someone like him with mild symptoms?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, his recovery is going to be tough, certainly, because he's obviously used to working out and being in an environment with other players in a situation where he may be exposed over and over again and sort of restart his clock of being positive for COVID. But he does have the advantage of being young. He has the advantage of having no comorbidities and not being sick at baseline, right? So that's helpful for him. But I think right now the focus needs to be on the isolation, making sure that he's away from any other further exposures, making sure that he's taken care of, his symptoms are managed the best way they possibly could be, making sure that we stay alert and stay vigilant to his oxygen consumption status. That's obviously very important, because we don't want something long lasting to affect this young man's career or affect his life once football is done. That's important.
Of course. Yes, first, foremost, and forever. His health is the most important part of this conversation. Period. New paragraph. The football side of it obviously is of interest to a lot of people. They play Notre Dame a week from tomorrow. If Trevor Lawrence clears protocols, could we expect him reasonably to be physically prepared for that game?
Yeah, I'd say no. I'm very conservative. You know, I look at the patients that we handle here at Mass General Hospital, the patients that I've operated on who've had COVID-19, you know, patients who have been exposed to staff members who have COVID-19, they go in isolation, they're on droplet contact and airborne precautions, they're tested with rapid PCR tests consistently, even if they're ready to go to a rehab facility or go home because they've
clear PT or something like that. We're very conservative, but we're also very proactive in the sense that we want to make sure that everyone is very, very healthy before they step out into the community. And I think the same thing needs to be true here. If the NCAA, NFL, college, high school, other systems want to be serious about a premium on their athletes and their families, then they'll go very, very slow to make sure that these players are absolutely clear and that they don't jeopardize, again, their future as a football player, as an athlete, but also as a human that has to live with maybe some of the uncertainties of what COVID can do in the long term.
Dr. Myron Roll, thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the insight you shared with us here, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you for making the time for us. There's one other thing I wanted to get in here from the world of college football, obviously in a different but similar vein. The Big Ten has nixed a proposed deal that would have allowed Nebraska to play this weekend. Their game against Wisconsin was scheduled. They tried to reschedule a game against an FCS team, Chattanooga. This is the latest controversy between Nebraska and the Big Ten as the conference said no. Paul Feinbaum, Nebraska released a statement expressing disappointment in the Big Ten not allowing them to play. What is your reaction to all of this?
Nebraska is a total embarrassment these days, Greeny. I don't even know where to begin other than to say they've been in the Big Ten for 10 years, and the only major championship they've won is the league's biggest crybaby. And the athletic director, in trying to defend playing Chattanooga, said, well, it could be an important data point for the CFP. Nebraska and the CFP, I've got a better chance of winning the country's most sexiest man than Nebraska has of going to the CFP this year.
You know, in all honesty, you have my vote for that. So I disagree with your premise, but I do agree with your thought. So just to make it 100% clear, you believe that the Big Ten has it right. Their policy is games that are unable to be played on time, they are canceled. They're not postponed. You're on that side.
Greeny, after all the delays and restarts, the Big Ten came up with a specific season. We're playing each other. We're not playing Chattanooga. So why Nebraska wants to go rogue? Remember, Nebraska used to be in the Big 12. They thought they were too good for that, and they joined the Big Ten. They ought to get out of the Big Ten and find someplace where they could rule the roost because they don't belong in the Big Ten any longer.
All right, there you have it. So again, Nebraska, they were supposed to play Wisconsin tomorrow. Wisconsin has an outbreak that includes six of their players and their head coach, Paul Christ. That game won't be played, and Nebraska won't play this weekend either. Paul Feinbaum, thank you. You are the best, and I personally think you are one of the sexiest people in America. Meanwhile, what a Big Ten game we have for you coming up tomorrow night. How about this? You got Justin Fields and Ohio State. You got Sean Clifford and Penn State. This is one of the biggest games of the season, and it's tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up, Aaron Rodgers won't say it, so I'm going to say it for him. My urgent, unsolicited advice that they better be listening to in Green Bay in the next 3 days. On the way, get up on ESPN.
Call the non-believers.
How did that
call the non-believers?
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations.
Can't wait.
Never gets old, Greeny.
And thus, a segment was born. Bart Scott with a look at the things this weekend you can't wait to see. And the first one is Cleveland and their quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a lot said that Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback without Odell Beckham. After struggling early in the game last week, Odell Beckham gets injured, and all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield becomes OJ the Juice Man. He goes on a run with 21 straight completions. They're going to need Baker Mayfield. I believe this team is a playoff wild card team. To do that, they're going to have to go through Oakland. They're going to have to go through the Raiders this week. And he's been playing at a high level. And before Odell Beckham got there, we thought that he was the truth. Since Odell Beckham been there, he's been struggling. Maybe less is more.
Next, the Cowboys, they have a big game against Philly.
Every time I see that, man, you never thought that a coach would have to address protecting your quarterback. Let's see if the Dallas Cowboys went to the Wizard, got some heart, and instead of pointing the finger, start pointing the thumb. Because in the midst of all this, is the fact that they win this week, they're leading the division. Mm-hmm. So glass half full, let's see if they can step up. And let's see if they do have a leadership problem, Jerry Jones.
And then finally, how about Le'Veon Bell against his former team?
Oh, man, this is the gift that keeps on giving. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to do his role and make sure that the Jets solidify that first overall pick. He gets to have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and he makes sure that the Jets have options. You know, Le'Veon Bell has the ability to prove that he can maybe be a number one running back in his league. Kansas City is going to feature him. He's their closer. I can't wait to see him do it.
Do you think?
Give us number one pick, Greeny. We need the number one pick.
Well, they're going to get the number one pick, Le'Veon or not. But the question is, do you think that this week they give Le'Veon the opportunity to really rub it in Adam Gase's face?
Well, I'm sure around the facility they're going to call this the Bell Bowl. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a former teammate that got beef with their former organization, you usually feature him. And it's like, you know, you broke up with your girlfriend and you end up going from a 7 to a 10. Yeah, that's what Le'Veon Bell did.
So the Jets are a 7?
I'm still employed by him. You know what I mean? I want my code to work when I go over on Tuesday.
Fair enough. That's I can't wait. Meanwhile, tomorrow is Halloween. So let's do a little trick-or-treat version of Contender or Pretender. Are they a trick or are they a treat? Diana, the Dolphins, are they a trick or are they a treat?
I'm thinking that they're a trick right now. Here's the problem. My reaction to the change of quarterback, this just feels like an ownership move right now. And I just feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick's reaction to all this would have been very different. He was in the know on all this. So this feels like a move that was made by ownership or perhaps not by the head coach. That's just my feelings on him, which is why I think it's a trick.
Next up, Ryan Clark. The Arizona Cardinals, are they a trick or a treat?
This is a treat, and you know I know about treats because I'm the snacks over everything president. When you go and you pull up to Cliff Kingsbury's house, which we saw at the draft, you know he is giving away full-size Snickers, and that's what this team is on offense. Kyler Murray, Chase Edmonds, DeAndre Hopkins on the outside. They are finding ways to score points and win big games in the NFC West, already beating the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks.
Rob Ninkovich, the Chicago Bears, are they a trick or a treat?
I'm going to say they're a treat. Look, when you can line up as a defense and hit the quarterback, that's not a trick. The Chicago Bears defense is for real. They can get after the quarterback. We saw that against Tampa. And they have Nick Foles, who I feel like is going to come around. The offense is going to score more points. And look, I'm a believer in Nick Foles. I've seen him do it in the past. I think he's going to be able to do it this year.
All right, that was one that got a lot of reaction, but I think this one will as well. There's something I feel like I need to say. You know, the Green Bay Packers don't need any advice from me, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. We are just 4 days away from the NFL's trade deadline, and the storyline in and around Green Bay, going all the way back to last April, has been, why is it they are already looking forward to a future beyond Aaron Rodgers instead of trying to win while you have this great quarterback? Well, do you know what this team is right now? This team is exactly what it has been the last few years. Just good enough for Aaron Rodgers to take them into the playoffs and not win a championship. Please, Green Bay, get Aaron Rodgers the help that he needs. One more piece that could put them over the top. When they ran up against Tampa, he did not have the weapons to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. You make a trade for someone like, I'm just going to throw a name out there, Will Fuller, who I've been told is available from Houston and has caught a touchdown in 5 straight games and takes the top off of defense. I think that could be the difference-making piece and get Aaron Rodgers another ring before you unceremoniously show him the door in Green Bay, which you seem so eager to do. So that's my unsolicited advice for the Packers. I now turn to you, Diana Rossini, and I charge you with making that happen. Do they have a deal out there to make?
When did I start running the Packers? This is something I believe in as well. I think that they whiffed on their running back in the second round this year. I think they've really committed to show that they believe Aaron Rodgers can make anybody look good by not giving him these weapons. But this is the time now. You look at the rest of the NFC, and you see every team has two or more number one receivers, right? You mentioned the Bucks here. We see what they did with bringing on Antonio Brown here. This is the time now to give Aaron Rodgers his weapons. Davante Adams is fantastic, but he does deal with injuries. After that, not very good. This is an opportunity if they really want to make that push into the playoffs.
RC, what do you think?
I think we got to stop going back and forth, y'all.
Right, the beginning of the season, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers being in the MVP conversation because he's playing so well, because Matt LaFleur is doing such a good job. We had to get there after the entire offseason saying how they won't be able to create offense, they won't be able to produce on the outside. And they did some of these things without Devontae Adams even being a part of the lineup because of injury. And now all of a sudden, this is why they're going to win. I like the Will Fuller thing. I think that he can add something down the field. But that's not the reason they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you want them to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you better get somebody to block. If you want them to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you better get somebody that can help them stop the run. There are more problems on this team than getting Aaron Rodgers' weapons right now because they found ways to work and use them. I just don't know if this is the answer, more or less than some giving him something to make him feel a little bit good about himself.
Rob Ninkovich, what do you think?
So I think Green Bay should listen to Ninko here. Go over to your phone, pick it up, call the New York Giants, get Joe Judge on the phone, say, hey, you got a guy over there, Golden Tate, we need him. We need him because right now the Giants, their season, it's over. So go get Golden Tate, bring him on the Green Bay Packers. It's a veteran leader who you know is reliable, can be the intermediate route guy for you. You don't need him to be a speedster down the field. Just somebody that you're reliable that can bring some depth to the receiving core just in case you have an issue. So Green Bay, go get Golden Tate.
I like it. So that's three votes for getting them some weapons, and I will take it. We will take a short break and continue in just a moment here. Get up. What a busy day we have working on this Football Friday. Coming up, what happens now after college football's biggest star tests positive for coronavirus? The very latest is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.